That's good. That's good. We're in a series of lessons on Sunday morning called Devoted. It seems like it's something we just can't get away from. We started back in January, and here we are the first Sunday in March. I don't know if we're going to go another week or not, but this week we're going to dive back in. We're going to hit around some stuff that we have been talking about. We have talked about concerning prayer. Brittany mentioned some things that really kind of highlighted where we're going to go today. And we're going to talk about prayer, because if there's one thing that I know that most people don't do is most people don't pray. Most Christians, we'll just jump right into it and we'll find out what Jesus said, because Jesus is very interested in your prayer life. Jesus is very interested in you having a devoted life towards him and to him. Jesus is very interested in getting involved in everything concerned with your life and wants your life to be concerned with him and what he's about. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, Jesus says something that's quite alarming. Look at this. He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love praying, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." Their reward is what they just got by praying out loud, praying to be seen. But you, when you pray, go to your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Didn't say he might, said he will. Verse 7, "And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard by their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him." I would encourage you this week to spend some time, just take this passage of scripture, these four verses or so, and spend some time, maybe every week, maybe every day this week, you just read that. It'll take you about what we just read, take you about 40 seconds, that you can read this and you can be then thinking about it, what it's actually saying to you personally. But it's interesting that what Jesus says, as you start talking about prayer, and we'll read another scripture a moment ago from the Gospel of Luke that's similar to this, and Jesus is going to give us the Lord's Prayer. What we know is the Lord's Prayer. Jesus didn't call it the Lord's Prayer. It's been titled the Lord's Prayer. We'll read that. But here, these guys have been around Jesus long enough, and they're wondering, and they're hearing him pray, and they're going to ask him in a minute, we're going to find out from Luke 11, about prayer. And Jesus kind of, even before here, Matthew says, before he even talks to them about the Lord's Prayer, he's actually breaking down what prayer is and some barriers to prayer and some thoughts and some attitudes and adjustments you need to make when you think about prayer so that you can get prayer results. I don't know if there's anything worse than praying to a God who you believe in and you never get what you're praying for. That's discouraging. That's disappointing. And so there's got to be something that I'm man enough to admit. You know, some guys said some amazing words over me, but I'm man enough to admit, and I hope you are man enough or woman enough to admit, that if there's a problem in prayer, there's never going to be a problem on the God side. There's going to be a problem on the Gary side. If you cross that bridge, you are 90% on the way to victory, to making adjustments in your life. Here, the first thing that Jesus says, notice this, the first thing that Jesus said about prayer was what not to do. The first thing Jesus says about prayer is what not to do. What's he say don't do? Don't be like the hypocrites. What was the hypocrites? What did he say specifically? Praying to be seen or praying to be heard. So our prayer life shouldn't be so much any public prayer life. Our prayer life isn't to be seen, heard around the table with your kids. Dads, if that's the only time you pray, you're missing it. Pray for dinner. Come on, do it. Absolutely. But how's your private prayer? He's what he's going to talk about. Now, here's what I know about prayer, and I think everybody does in the room, whether you're Christian or not. Every religion believes in prayer. Muslims believe in prayer. Buddhists believe in prayer. Hindus believe in prayer. But if we believe what the Bible says, and if you're a God follower and you've surrendered your life to Jesus, what we know is that God the Father is not hearing and answering those prayers. People fast, people worship, people have all these festivals you see all around the world. They have spiritual rituals, spiritual retreats. They'll do all kinds of things of that you would say on the outside are lives of devotion, praying to a God. What the scripture says, if you believe Jesus, that God the Father is not hearing them. So again, let's just clear the air. I'll say it right here, day before my birthday. Not all prayer is prayer. Not all prayer is what we would call biblical prayer. So here's the startling thing to realize if you subscribe to this thought, as I hope you do, is this. If all prayer is not heard by God, then all prayer is not answered by God. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 a couple things. We've said this repeatedly during the last several weeks, but it bears repeating because I think it's so important to remind ourselves what we need to do concerning prayer. He said this, have a place of prayer. Have a prayer place. What'd he say is your prayer place? He said your prayer place is go to your room. That's what he said. Go to your room. Have a prayer place. Do you know your prayer place? Do you have a prayer place? Do you have a place that you have a chair? You have a room. Is it on your bed? Do you pray regularly when you're in your car? Do you walk and pray? Do you have a prayer place? You got to have a prayer place. Jesus said here, go to your room. Go to your room. Secondly, he said, be alone. Be alone. Shut the door. So prayer generally isn't you and somebody else, a buddy, a friend, a husband, a wife, a prayer partner. Those are all kind of cool. Those are really cool. But your prayer, you need to learn to pray alone. Pray alone. He says, shut the door. There's a Methodist minister named, he's gone long dead. His name is Samuel Chadwick. He said, true prayer is lonely business. True prayer is lonely business. Where you wrestle with God and you pray to God that you can't see based on scripture that you believe. True prayer is lonely business. The third thing that Jesus said is that you pray to your Father who is in the secret place, is what he says. Pray to your Father. That your Father is in the secret place. So we have a place to pray. We get alone. We shut off the phone. I got a little music for me in the morning. I put on some you know, not word music, but just instrumental music. Kind of helps me a little bit. I got a cup of coffee. This is my routine. I got a cup of coffee. Jesus loves coffee. He's got a Bible book called Hebrews. Come on, everybody. It's corny. It's a dad joke. 65, probably a granddad joke. And we pray to the Father who's in the secret place. So listen to me. This is amazing. Your secret place becomes his secret place. When you make up your mind, I'm going to pray to the Father. I'm going to my place of prayer. I'm going to get alone. The Bible says the Father is going to be in that secret place. My Lord and my God. And what we know is that he says, pray to the Father. Pray to the Father who's in the secret place. Pray to the Father. Come on, help me with those words. Pray to the Father. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say pray to Jesus. I'm just trying to help you. Because I see a lot of people and hear a lot of people in prayer talking to Jesus. And that's cool. And I'm not against it. I'm just trying to follow the protocol here. Because I need to get results. So I'm going to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And we'll read that. We'll read some scriptures about that in a minute. So again, Jesus calls your specific place the secret place. You got to have it. You got to figure out what that is. Make it comfortable. Shake it up a little bit. I would encourage you. Go walk at the beach. Walk, pray. Get on. While I'm on the bike and I'm just by myself outside thinking while I'm on the bike, I'm not really in prayer, if you will, if you're like in the zone, but I'm having an ongoing discussion with God. I'm thinking about scripture. A lot of times I got to pull over with my phone and write down what he's telling me because God will want to talk with you any place you give him an open door. Can I get an amen in the room? So I believe this is that what you sow in prayer, you're going to reap in rewards. What you sow in prayer, you're going to reap in rewards because Jesus actually says you will be rewarded openly. You're going to see it and maybe some other people are going to see it as well. So I would encourage you, let's find out more and more what the scripture says concerning prayer and how to pray effectively. Now, the other thing that Jesus said a moment ago concerning what not to do, don't be like the hypocrites, want to be seen and want to be heard. But what Jesus said also was, when you pray, don't keep saying the same thing over and over. He called it vain repetition. Remember what he said that? He called it vain repetition. Now, what one Bible writer said this, the difference between vain, what he's really talking about is we will say some of the things over and over, but it's about your passion to say it, and you're not begging God. Passion, yes. Begging, no. No. So don't keep saying the same thing, thinking that's going to get God to say, oh, gosh, I'm tired of hearing you. Here you go. That's not our God. Listen, he's got long patience. One day is 1,000 years, everybody. Come on, he can wait you out. He'll wait you out. So Jesus said they think they're going to be heard by their much speaking. That's what he said. So think with me. That must mean the amount of prayer you pray isn't always indicative of getting an answer. If you prayed it and you prayed according to the word, he heard it, and the scripture says you can have confidence. He's working right now. So that would always, this would also indicate that I don't need to get everybody to pray about my situation. If I could just send out the text and the email, if I could just put out the video, if I could just have so many followers like me and give me thumbs up and give me praying hands, and I could get Chula Vista to back me with what I'm asking God to do, surely he would hear me then. The answer is absolutely 100% not. He can hear you individually just as much as he can hear a multitude. Come on, everybody. Now, what's alarming in this also is that Jesus said and tells us to pray, but he says this, your Father knows what you need before you ask. I know what you need, but here's where we're going. So lean in for the next 20 minutes. Here's where we're going. Even though he knows what you need, you don't get what you need until you ask him. And we'll talk about why in a moment. Jesus is saying, you need to ask me for what you need. Luke chapter 11. Look with me on the screen. Luke 11. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he stopped praying, when he ceased, one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Come on, would you say that with me? Lord, teach us to pray. Come on, I've been saying that all week. Lord, teach me how to pray. Let me pray more effectively. Hope you have been too. Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. Verse 2, so he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Notice this. When you pray, say. When you pray, don't think. When you pray, say, this is words coming from your breath, out of your mouth, formed by your soul. When you pray, you gotta say something to God. Thinking prayer will be unanswered prayer. Welcome to my 65th birthday celebration. Thanks for bearing with me here. I just want results. I don't know about you, but I want results. And I know you do too. Amen. So when you pray, say. So let's just say it this way. Praying is saying. Can you say that with me? Praying is saying. Praying isn't thinking. Praying isn't reading scripture. Praying isn't meditating. Praying is saying. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven. Our Father, we come to the Father. Hallowed be your name. Holy, set apart, revered is your name. Revered is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 3, give us this day, give me this day my daily bread. Pray it, say it. Give me this day my daily bread. Forgive me my sins as I forgive everyone who's indebted to me. For, you know, I got issues with them. I'm letting them go. I'm releasing them. Pray it, say it. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Father, don't lead me into temptation. Keep temptation away from me. Lord, that stuff going on with that girl at work or that dude, and I'm smelling him as he's walking by, or I'm wanting to eat, and I'm wanting to lust, and I'm wanting to veg on the couch and watch Netflix till there's no more movies I can screen, and I'm just wasting my life. I got addiction in my life. Lord, lead me out of temptation. Get this stuff off of me and deliver me from anything evil. Get the evil one off my life. Anything evil, break it from my life. When you pray, say. When you pray, we're going to ask him to do what his word said he would do for us. Now, what you read here is that there is a huge interaction and emphasis in Jesus' teaching about prayer between heaven and earth. Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to think more and more that when you pray, hopefully you're doing this already, that when you're praying and you're saying that you're not just like spewing out some words out here in the atmosphere, you're actually talking to God who's somewhere other than here. He happens to be in heaven. Can I get an amen? So from here, as the psalmist would say, we're lifting up our eyes because our help's going to come from above. My help's not going to come from anybody. My help's not going to come from me. I'm not my own source. I'm in the middle of a situation that I can't get out of. There's all kinds of situations that I can get out of, and you can too. And God gives you the power and the ability and the strength and the might and the wisdom to do that. Get out of those situations. But there's things you come up against that you can't get out of, and those are the things that you need to ask him to help you. Can I get an amen? So again, look on the screen real quick, that when you pray, you have to remember who he is and where he is. Who he is. He's the Father. He's Lord God Almighty. He's El Shaddai. He's the all-sufficient one. He's my healer. He's my shepherd. He's my deliverer. Come on, everybody. He's my provider. He's my peace. He's giving me everything I need. He's a good, good Father. And when I pray, I got to remember that because my situation is not telling me that. So when I pray, I got to remember where he is, and who he is. He's in heaven. He's not here. He's not like me. He's totally different. Perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect humility, perfect power. And I'm needing something like that in my life right now. So I'm going to look at my life, and I'm not going to look inward and navel gaze and think he can't help me. No, I believe I'm going to come based on the authority of the Word of God, that I'm a child of God, that he loves me, that he's a good Father, and he's ready and willing to answer me when I ask him according to his will and his word. Amen, everybody? We've been saying for quite a while now is that, again, when you pray, we focus on him. Again, look, put your focus on him. Put your focus on him. Don't put your focus on your need. We get so enamored by the need so many times. Lord, I need a new job. I need you to give me a new job. Give me some more money up in here. I need. And listen, what I'm encouraging you to do before you come to pray, find out what he said about your need. Find out what he said about your job. Find out about, build your heart and build your strength and build your mind up about how good he is and how generous he is and what he has. Come on, the Bible says he's got a cattle on 1,000 hills. Come on, giving you $1.50 extra an hour ain't no big deal for God. Come on, so I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to reach out to him. I'm not going to concentrate on my need. I'm going to remember who I'm praying to. Let's do that. Again, pray your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So one more, look at those words, kingdom. Pray your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. The king coming and his kingdom coming. The king and his domain coming. The king and his dominion coming. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, the king and his power comes to bear in your behalf. We've been saying this for months now, is that this phrase that he comes where he's wanted. He comes where he's wanted. So I'm encouraging you. You're every day. I want you. I want you, Lord. I need you. I'm asking you. I'm going to yield to you today. I want your will in my life. I want your kingdom realm to be in my life. I want your king and your kingdom, your power, your dominion, your authority in my life, in my family, in my church, in my city, in my state, in my nation, in the world, at the workplace. I'm asking you, Lord, come. Come into my life. Now here's where it gets sticky, if it hasn't been sticky already. Is that God is only in control of those who want him to be in control. There's a teaching all across the body of Christ. It's nothing new, but you'll hear it, and you'll hear it regularly at different seasons when some chaos is going on, and it's something like this. Well, you know, God's in control of everything, to which I would say, if your God, or who you say my God is in control of everything, I don't want to serve that God. Because I see a lot of killing, stealing, I see a lot of hurting, a lot of maiming, I see a lot of inequity, and if you're telling me he's in charge of all that, and we're like little puppets under this crazy puppeteer, I don't want to have nothing to do with that God. So there's got to be a shift in your and my thinking based on what the scripture says, that there's a problem with that thinking that will then mess up your receiving when you pray. God is not ruling, stick with me, God is not ruling everything and every person on the earth. Only those who want him to. Most people believe God's in control of everything. Listen to me. Everything that happens isn't always the will of God. Why did that happen? You could be here all day. We could be here all day. And you're not going to know everything because you and I can't get in everybody's heart, my heart included, or that situation. But listen to me. That does not have God's DNA on it. So when Jesus said, pray, your will be done on earth, why would he tell us to pray that if he was in control of everything? First thing he says, Father, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Evidently, there's situations you're going to come in contact with where that's not happening. I thought he was controlling everything. Jesus, who's God, says no. So look on the screen. Based on this, there are things that'll never happen in the earth or in your life, even though they could be God's will, unless you pray. Things that are never going to happen. Well, I just thought that if it's God's will, it's just gonna come to pass. Where did you get that? Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth, a couple different translations, I added some words in here. But the earth he has given, he's appointed, he's designated, or he's assigned to the children of men. The heaven of the heavens are the Lord's, but what's he done? What's he done with the earth? What's he done with the earth? He's given it, he's appointed it, he's assigned it, he's designated it to the children of men. So he said at creation, when he made Adam and Eve, come on, he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion, and subdue everything around here. I've given you authority. We know Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and this is when the authority of the earth was transferred from God's man and God's woman, Adam and Eve, over to Satan and his power. This is the transfer right here, and this is what we're battling constantly right here. You might say, well, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that. Okay, well, let's base your belief and my belief based on what the scripture says. The third temptation of Jesus. Remember this in Matthew chapter 4? Look on the screen. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness being tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 8, it says, again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, these are called temptations. Listen to me. If this wasn't real, that Satan had the power to give the kingdoms of the world to Jesus, if Jesus would worship him, it wouldn't have been a temptation. This was a real temptation because Satan was the lawful owner. And so we got to realize that Satan is in this world and he's messing with people and he's twisting things and turning things and causing hate and division and pain and sorrow and poverty and all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. I mean, this is what Jesus said. So God is not in control of everything going on in the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says Satan is the god of this world. We have someone coming trying to twist the goodness of God and showing and trying to tell us that God will not answer us, that God is in control of everything. And so there's just no use praying. Or when you pray, it's kind of more like a wish. Or kind of more like a hope and kind of more like you want something. But the Bible says we can pray and have confidence. Can I get an amen in the room? Amen. Jesus calls Satan actually the thief. Calls him a thief. What's he trying to do? Steal, kill, and to destroy. And so you actively have to stand against this one who has got a lawful right to be here until the very end. And so you have the power over all the works of the enemy. And the main power you have is twofold, in the word and in the power of prayer. And we have to learn how to use this. Come on, remember this scripture? Over in Psalm 127, verse 1, I think it is. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. They did build the house, but it was for no use. It was for no spiritual purpose. Even there's some scriptures over in the Old Testament that say God gave Israel what they wanted, but sent leanness to their soul. God could actually give you something that you want so bad, but it's going to jack you up. This is crazy to think about. That I could have a warped idea of God. I could actually ask him for something, and this is kind of beyond thinking. If he's not hearing me when I'm asking, if I'm asking according to the word, but here, Israel asked for a king, and God said, I'm tired of you asking me. I'm going to give you a king named Saul, and he's going to be a thorn in your side. I would encourage you, don't ask. Don't ask until you got a word on it. Don't ask until you got a leading. Until you got a leading. I want to marry this girl. I want to marry this guy. I want this job. I want this house. I want this car. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Like that kid, that with a parent. And God just finally says, if that's what you want, I'm going to let my hand off you and you're going to get it, but it's going to be a train wreck. Better ask according to the will of God. Kingdom come, will be done. So you're going to have to spend time soaking in that and letting your will become His will. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Lord, I want you to build my life. Lord, I want you to direct my life. I want to get in the right career path. I want to marry the right person. I want to date the right person. I want to build my life on the authority of your word. I just thought that if God wanted me to do something, he just knock me on the head and make me do it. How's that been working? That's why we pray. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need you. Luke 11:9, right after what Jesus said here. Brittany read it earlier, talked about this. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given you. Come on, read it out loud with you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. He who seeks, what happens? Finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. Come on, wind down with me for about the next 10 minutes. Ask means to make a request. I'm going to make a request. That's what the word actually means. I'm going to petition. I'm going to call. It also means I crave something. I require something. So I've got a hunger. I've got a desire, something I don't have. So I'm asking. I'm asking. And we're going to ask based on the word of God. And if we ask based on the word of God, the scripture says he's hearing us and he's answering us. We have confidence in that. We can have confidence in that. Again, no feeling, no emotion, haven't seen anything, nothing's changed, sky hasn't turned bluer, sun hasn't gotten brighter, but I know based on the word, he's heard me, he's heard me, he's answered me. Don't know how, my job isn't to know how, my job is to know who. I know who you are, I know who this word is, I know you're never gonna fail. I know you're constant, I know your love for me. I don't know when this situation is gonna turn around. That's really not my deal. My deal is to stay in faith and believe that you've heard me. Can I get a better amen, everybody? Amen. How about this? Like you might say, I don't believe that. Okay, let's go a couple more. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's died. He's gone to the tomb, buried for 3 days. He's risen from the dead. He's evidently already gone to the Father to present his blood to the Father as holy. And he comes back to the earth, and the Bible says he shows himself alive for 40 days and 40 nights to all the disciples, all these people. Well, one of these encounters is in Luke chapter 24. Look on the screen. They got some guys called two brothers on the road to Emmaus. Remember those dudes? They're out there kind of going, talking to one another. Man, we can't believe it. You remember Jesus said, the Son of God, you know, and he's going to come back. And look at all this stuff that's going on. Where'd he go? Some people think that you know, someday they stole, the Jews stole the body, and we don't know, and there's going to be persecution. And this isn't looking too good. And then it says, as they drew near the village where they were going, all of a sudden Jesus shows up. Jesus pops up. I said, what are you guys talking about? And they said, oh, you know, with them at Jesus. And their eyes were held. Their eyes were blinded to who he really was. He didn't reveal himself to them. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And so Jesus starts talking to them about the scriptures. And he starts opening their eyes to the scriptures. And notice what it says. As they drew near the village where they were staying, these brothers were living. And look at this. And he, meaning Jesus, indicated that he would have gone further. Read the Bible slow, church. He was indicating they're going to go to their house, and he's going, you know, we would just say, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep going. But they constrained him, the next verse says. And they said, abide with us, because it's toward evening. The day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Church, Jesus' plan was to keep on going. But somebody said and asked, stay with me. And guess what he said? Yes. 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 If they didn't ask, he's keeping on going down the road. You don't ask, you don't get. If you're okay with what you got right now, he's not gonna want that for you. But he's not going to force himself on you until you ask. Here's the three main things that we do in prayer. Brittany said it a moment ago. We read it a moment ago from Luke. Three main things we do in prayer. We ask, we seek, and we knock. So easy, but most Christians miss it. We ask, we form a petition, we make a request, we see what you say, and it's not happening in my life. Lord, my mind is going crazy up in here. I got all kind of stupid thoughts of the past or some crazy thing in my mind. I'm asking you for your peace that passes all understanding based on Philippians chapter 3. And guess what he says? My peace I'll give you. Yeah, you don't get it until you ask. We ask, we seek, we look for, we seek. I mean, a lot of us, you left your phone somewhere. The ringer's not on. And what are you doing? You're all over the house trying to find the phone. You're seeking, you're looking for it, right? And we knock. What's knocking mean? We persist. Nobody ever in the history of a knock at a door has ever knocked like this. Anybody in the history of knocking, if you're like me, you're knocking like this. Persist. Blind Bartimaeus. Brother's blind. Jesus knows the brother's blind. He cries out before Jesus that he heard that Jesus is coming. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, cries out. The disciples say, shut up, man. He ain't going to help you. He ain't going to mess with you. He cries out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says this, Jesus went into the house. Blind Bartimaeus evidently had some friends, brought him to Jesus. How they got there, he didn't get by himself probably. And it says he threw aside his coat in Mark chapter 10. Blind Bartimaeus throws aside his coat and comes to Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Come on, have you ever been in the presence of a blind person? The equilibrium's a little bit off. We've all seen Stevie Wonder. Come on, not fun. This isn't funny. But they're trying to find their equilibrium. They're moving all the time. You know the brother is blind. Jesus has all the power to help the brother, but Jesus isn't just going to give it unless the brother asks him. You got to get how he works. And you might not like how he works and say, how come you just don't give it? You see the deaf person. You see the poor person. You see the needy person, the kid. I don't know other than this is how he operates. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Rabbi, I want to see. I'm asking, remember? I'm asking, I want to see. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has healed you. Faith has healed you. So a couple things in closing. Come on, Carlos, help me. When you ask, you have to ask according to his word. You have to ask according to his word. You got a scripture on it? You have to ask according to his word. Secondly, do you believe he can give you what you ask for? Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe he's got all power? Or do you believe there's some kind of like a shortage somewhere, a deficiency, that you're out of range, that God just can't get to you what you need him doing in your life? Do you really believe? Another question you got to ask. Do you believe he's willing to give it? Maybe he can give it, but will he give it? That was a question the leper had. I know you can heal me, but will you heal me? I know if you're God, you're Jesus, I've heard about your power. I know I've heard the stories, but will you heal me? Do you know who I really am? I'm not that good of a guy. I don't read my Bible every day. I really don't pray every day. I'm kind of new to all this, and I still got some junk in my life. I'm not as holy as I want to be. But do you believe that he'll give you what you ask for? Or you still got questions on that? That God really loves you. It's not based on performance. It's based on grace. He loves you. Do you believe that you're worthy to receive what you ask for? Do you believe that he's made you righteous by the blood of Jesus, that you're worthy to receive? Scripture says several things about all these that we talked about that you need to answer in prayer before you come to pray. Matthew 21, Jesus said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believe you receive. John 15:7, abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you desire, it's going to be done for you. If you just abide in me. There's a secret to prayer right there. Right there's a secret. Don't miss it. John 15:7. Abide in him. Abide in the word. Abide in him. Vitally united to him, one translation says. Whatever you ask in prayer, he's going to give it to you. And when you ask, we know from James, you got to be fully persuaded. You got to be fully persuaded that I'm convinced when I ask you, you're going to answer me. And you're generous, and you're going to give me exactly what I need. I'm convinced, based on your word. So come on, all over the room, stand up. You've been sitting all morning. Thanks for being here for our celebration. It means a lot to me. But here, this is the most important thing today. Just look on the screen. Last thing I want to ask you. What do you need to ask God to do for you based on what his word has already said? Come on, just stare at the screen for a second. What if you just form a request, a prayer, and ask? It's going to be the beginning of an answer. It's going to be the beginning of a turnaround. So what do you need to ask? What's the word already said for your marriage, for that child and that addiction, for that thing going on in your mind, in your body? That situation at work. God gives favor. God gives wisdom. God gives joy. God gives peace. God gives forgiveness. God gives provision. So what do you need to ask? Come on, everybody in the room, bow your head. Close your eyes. Come on, put your hands out there in front of you just like an altar. Just make an altar in front. Come on, form a prayer right there. You don't need to pray super loud, but pray, move your lips a little bit. Lord, I'm asking right now. I'm asking. Ask him right now. I'm asking that you'd restore this situation. I'm asking that you'd renew. Maybe it's just the joy of my salvation. I'm going through a dark time, Lord God. Reveal light to me, reveal truth to me. I'm going through a very difficult time at work, Lord God. My boss, the people I work with, Father, would you bring change? I pray for them. Get whatever's messing with them, Lord God. I pray the peace of God in their life. I'm asking, Lord. I'm asking for my life personally, for a hunger and a desire in you. Sometimes I'm not hungry like I need to, Lord. Stir hunger in my life for you. I'm asking you for grace to hunger more and more. Father, I'm asking that I'd be filled and filled with the Spirit of God more and more, that I'd be a vessel of honor. Father, I'm asking that you'd use me all around the people around me, hurting people, broken people, needing people. I want to be used by you. Father, I'm asking the stories I read about in the Bible, I want those to be my stories. Signs and wonders and miracles and just blessing people, Lord God. I want to be used by you. I'm asking for my children, for my grandchildren. They stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. I'm asking to be used by you in this time. I'm asking you for wisdom with work, Lord. I've got decisions coming up. I've got all kinds of things coming up this week, this month, and the next 6 months. Personally, the business I'm in. I'm asking you that I need to know the career path, Lord. I'm in college. It just seems like it's just not happening, Lord. I'm asking you. Then if it's not happening, direct me. I'm asking. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. We're not going to ask with a double mind. We're going to ask in faith. We're going to ask in trust and confidence to a good, good Father who hears. Come on, put your hands down. Come on, keep your eyes closed all over the room. Maybe the prayer you need to pray today is that you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you're away from him today. And today's the day you say, man, I want to come back to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to him. The Bible says that he will never cast anyone out that comes to him. But you got to ask him. So all over the room, with your head bowed, your eyes closed, you just say, yeah, that's me, Pastor Gary. I need Jesus. I need him in my life in a new way, and I'm just wanting him to come today. Come on, when I count to three, just lift up your hand, and we're going to say a prayer out loud, and there's going to be a spiritual transaction that happens between heaven and earth.